Unfortunately, we're not able to meet in person, but the board is able to assemble in person. Hopefully that's going to change shortly. I think what we have done in the past few nights is we've gone through and had the board introduce themselves so that you can have a name and a face. So we'll do that. My name is, again, Jeff Schmidt. I'm the chairperson of the Dozier Planning Board.
Good evening, Elizabeth Novak, Planning Board member, Town of Waynesburg.
Michael Santullo, also Planning Board member. Matt Hoffman, Planning Board member. Josh Houghton, Planning Board member. Tom Wilson, Planning Board member.
Hi, this is Mike Harris, I'm Planning Board member.
Okay, also in the audience, we have
Mike Walpole,
he's the an alternative Planning Board member. We have our town council.
Teresa Baker, wife and husband, Anna.
And our code enforcement and town planner.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. A couple things of interest here, maybe. This past winter, one of our long-term planning board members had resigned from the board and decided he's going to go on to greener fields. And that was Marty Williams, yeah. And we heard tonight that another one of our long-term members, Tom Rolson, is going to exit his duties as a member of the planning board. And we'd like to acknowledge his diligence and perseverance over the years. Tom has been a major contributor to the board's activities, really keeping us ground truth all the way on things when we sometimes, or the public may even perceive we've gone too far. Tom's a long-term resident of the town. He served on many functions in town business. So we thank him for his service. So with that said, the meeting is going to open up with the open forum. The rules for the open forum are basically anyone in the audience can make a statement about town business, planning board business. We ask that you keep your statement limited to 4 minutes. You identify yourself by your name and location within the town. And any issue that you want to bring up, so long as it's not on tonight's agenda, is appropriate for the open forum. So with that in mind, I'll make a motion to open the open forum for the June 17th Town of Waynesburg Planning Board meeting.
I'll second.
Yes.
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 Matt.
Yes.
Josh.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so if there's anyone in the audience that would like to make a statement, feel free to do so.
Good evening. This is Lynn Bruning, 13388 Waynesburg Road.
Susan Biggs, 13388 Waynesburg Road. Include my statement in the official meeting minutes as posted on the town website. Regarding the draft of the proposed solar law, it does not include the following things. Community-wide notification. The 2001 telecommunications law requires a 32-square-foot sign of notification to be erected at the proposed site at the time of application. Two, it does not protect property owners by restricting size, number, and location of solar power plants or placement of battery storage. This may allow a parcel to be surrounded by solar and endanger existing structures and woodlands. Three, it does not provide checks and balances between the New York State requirements and town regulations. This may also invite fraud. Four, draft does not provide required annual inspection by independent engineers and neighborhood residents. This will lend increased accountability and credibility. Closing a loophole for potential fraud. 5, does not require specific specifications for it, at all equipment included. This would provide quality and prevent environmental pollution. Don't let what happened to me during the town's review and approval of Oak Hill Solar protest happen to you. I request the planning board to please make these recommendations as an integral part of any solar law. This would strengthen the town law and protect property owners from unscrupulous developers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Comments will be noted and included in our minutes. Okay.
Good evening. This is Lynn Bruning. Can you hear me?
Hold on, Liz. Let us tune you up a little bit here.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Lynn Bruning, 13388 Duanesburg Road. Oh gosh, I lost my, what I had to say. There it is. Please include this letter in the official record of the meeting minutes as posted on the town website. At the June 10th, 2021 town meeting, the board voted to continue the public hearing for Solar Facilities Law, Local Law 1 of 2021, and the Commercial Events Facilities Law, Local Law 2 of 2021. The next meeting is Thursday, June 24th. I encourage all planning board members and residents to review the draft laws as found on the town website. Submit comments to the town clerk at jhowe@duanesburg.net and attend the online Zoom meeting. I ask the planning board to please recommend to the town board that the draft solar law require developers to submit all application materials to the town as PDFs. These digital files can be easily uploaded to the town website for public access to the application record. This will promote accurate record keeping and save the town clerk's time and effort when assembling Freedom of Information requests. This appears to be standard practice in many other towns reviewing solar projects. I also request that you require the solar law to include that all of the pages in the application include the developer name, project name, date, and page of pages. This will promote the transparency and accountability for the town, planning board, and residents. And as an extra measure for town accountability, all documents should be date and time stamped. I also ask that the applicant provide equipment specification sheets and material data safety sheets for all equipment. This is the best method to hold the developer accountable and to ensure quality, control, and environmental protection for the town. Since 2019, residents have requested that the town draft a battery energy storage law. New York State Energy Research and Development Authority reviews and funds energy storage as independent project. I've attached NYSERDA's battery storage guidelines in a sample funding document, which reflects that battery storage projects must follow the 2021 International Fire Code, even if it is more restrictive than local law. The draft solar law is an adequate protection for the town and residents from utility-scale battery storage projects. I suggest that the town require a separate pilot for battery energy storage. The ability to store energy and sell it to the grid during peak hours when ratepayers' cost is highest generates more money for the developer. The residents and towns are exposed to fire hazard, chemicals, and stormwater impact. It is only fair that the developers increase their tax liability to meet the actual equipment being used on the project site. I request that the planning board draft a battery energy storage law, include a separate pilot agreement as soon as possible. And I encourage all residents to review the draft laws found on the town website and submit your comments and attend the meeting. And finally, I heard that the town building inspector and planner is present. Would you please tell me if Oak Hill Solar has applied for a building permit, and has the town verified DOT and DEC permits have been approved? I know that a month ago, neither of those departments had received any information on Oak Hill Solar. And if an application has come in, has it been approved? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. I think we're gonna defer any dialogue with the town code enforcement officer onto a different conversation on the open forum. We'll take your comments into consideration, and you could have that conversation with Dale separately, please.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other commenters out there? Hearing nothing, I make a motion to close the open forum for the July 17th, 2021 meeting.
I'll second.
Yes.
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 Okay, moving on with the agenda, the next item on our agenda is public hearings. We have several public hearings identified in the agenda. The first is William Green. I'm going to make a motion to open the public hearing for William Green, seeks a special use permit under to locate a agritourism and the operation of a farm brewery, distillery, winery, and cidery. So, Mr. Green, if you're there, this is your opportunity to.
I'll second.
Yeah.
Yes, hello, Planning Board. My name is Joseph Brown.
Gotta get the rules there.
Yes.
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 Okay, Mr. Green, you're on the table here now, so.
Good evening, Planning Board. My name is Joseph Arano. I am General Counsel to William Green, the applicant for this project. Mr. Green is seeking a special use permit that's allowing the operation of his farm meadery under Local Law 5 of 2017. The premises is 10966 Duanesburg Road. It's SBL 75-3-23.1. Mr. Green currently has approximately 68 acres of land with about 1,000 feet of frontage and a maximum depth of about 1,815 feet. It's currently improved with the applicant's house, a detached garage, chicken coop, shed, gravel driveway, well-watered septic, and most importantly for this project, a detached single-use agricultural outbuilding that's approximately 16 feet by 26 feet, stick-built and made out of wood, as well as an existing honeybee apiary on the project. If you look at page 24 in our submission, you can kind of see a layout of how it is, but I also submitted a sketch of how the buildings lay out in a more detailed fashion. Although Mr. Green currently uses it as the farmer's residence with him and his school teacher wife, Kimberly, commercial beekeeping, honey harvesting, and the bottling of his product all by itself is not as profitable of a business as it could be. And as important as it is to maintain pollinators, there's only so much profit and use that can be made out of a single employee, or I guess owner, apiary. He's looking to add to his current operations while still preserving the Duanesburg lifestyle, and having very little to almost no impact on the town whatsoever. He is looking to utilize the presently existing 16 by 26 foot building, which is currently the harvesting and bottling function center, into fermenting the product that he generates on the premises from his own honeybee hives, and supplementing that with additional honey that he would purchase from New York State farmers. What he would like to do is generate mead. Mead is the world's oldest alcoholic beverage, not to be over 14% alcohol, approximately 1,500 gallons per year. So this is gonna start off as a very small scale operation. And essentially it works in a lot of the same ways that a winery would generate an alcoholic product, but with grapes. All of the water is going to be drawn from a pure well, which is located on the premises, and all of the waste is natural organic waste, and it's very limited because most of the materials that are utilized on the farm end up being reused, such as using former wax that ends up getting peeled off into making additional wax casings for new hives. There are no surrounding property improvements that will be impacted on other people's property from what we're doing here. There's electric service provided by National Grid and a very minimal lighting plan, as the metering will only be in operation during daylight hours. The light is natural light being infused into the building through windows and also light within the building. There'll be only a single external LED light that illuminates the Mead facility on a timer and on a switch. No signage, no foot traffic at this point, and no tasting room. There are no employees other than the applicant himself, who's already working on the farm maintaining the hives. All operations except for the actual bees hunting for flowers will be taking place within the structure. And ultimately, the applicant will be looking to sell his product, at least for the foreseeable future, at state and county fairs, Renaissance festivals, farmers markets, and of course to local bars, restaurants, and maybe some of your finer wineries. This is a very well thought out project and one that's been duplicated a few places around the capital region. Mead does not have the cachet at this point of wineries or breweries, but as the craft beverage market has increased, there is a desire for additional products out there. And this is one of them. Based on the fact that it's going to maintain the Duanesburg lifestyle, support a local farmer, and have very little impact on the town of Duanesburg, I would ask that a special use permit be granted on for this applicant.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on the proposal, ask questions, have more information provided?
Hey, this is Dave Mullivick. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm at 11252. I'm his neighbor. So I guess I would just ask, when we talk about, you know, the proposal that's on the table, a couple things that I may note is, you know, when we talk about at this point, there's no tasting, you know, no desire to expand, if you will. But how does it work if in the event, you know, my neighbor wants to actually set up where he's got the public coming in and it turns into more than just, I'll call it operational, because now it sounds like it's operational. But if it turns into, you know, small parking lot, traffic, people coming to, you know, have a taste, how does that work? Is that another request through the board? Or if this passes, is that something that could just happen down the road?
My response would be the special use permit will be very specific to the application. So anything that goes above and beyond what the applicant has applied for would require a revisiting of the permit and a reapplication. So the parameters that are established in the application are the parameters that guide the permit.
And that other application process would require another public hearing.
Exactly. That's true. Yeah, we'd be back at the table, reapply, go to a public hearing. If you had comments, questions, you want to put a, you know, 50-acre parking lot in because its business is great, well, that's a whole different ballgame at that point, okay? So this permit, special use permit, is very specific to the application parameters.
And is that, and I'm sorry if I missed it, but is that application that you talk about it being specific, is that public knowledge now? Or am I supposed to just, you know, assume based on what is legal, you know, gentleman just walked through in your comment that it is special and he'd have to apply again? Without looking at that application, how do I know that? How do I know it's specific to a 16x26 building and it's operational?
Right. Well, one thing we can assure you is that it is, because we're staring at it right here. And if you would like a copy of the application, All you need to do is call Melissa and tell her when you can stop by to pick it up, or if you would like it emailed to you, we can email it to you.
Okay, I can follow up with Melissa then. Okay, no, that's cool.
Okay, good. Any other questions from the public?
And I guess I'll just close up with a comment then again to my neighbors. I'm not trying to be difficult here. It's just when you talk about lifestyle, you know, we all like it the way it is. So if, you know, if the intent is operational, as you know, explained here, 16 by 26 outbuilding to do some, you know, winery, distillery, that's one thing. But, you know, if it gets bigger, that's the concern I would have. So I would definitely like a copy of that, and I'll give them Melissa.
Okay, yes, Ms. Beckner said, you can ask Melissa for a copy of the application, and any activities that deviate or exceed the application parameters, then we have to come back here to the planning board to amend the special use permit or apply for a new permit. So.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? All right, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing for William Green.
I'll second.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Okay. With regard to Seeker, on this project, Elizabeth, can you just put a little...
Sure, I believe the planning board determined this was a Seeker type 2 action at the last meeting, so no further review is required.
Okay, so we're all good on that, okay?
And I did just, and my apologies, I wasn't at the last meeting. It's not apparent from the meeting minutes. I just did have one clarification I'd like to ask. They're talking about production of 1,500 gallons, and I was curious at what time frame. Is that annually? Is that weekly?
So that is an excellent question. It's annual production at this point. We are going to try to utilize all the honey produced on the premises first. Obviously, we have capacity and there's demand for it. Under the state liquor authority rules, we can purchase New York products to convert and ferment on our own premises. But obviously, it's demand dependent. We are going to be doing this in relatively small batches, 20 gallons at a time, approximately 20 gallons at a time. So this truly is a startup. And as you've seen from the photographs that were provided in our application, all of the equipment is there and none of it is large scale operation. You know, this isn't a alcohol factory. It truly is what was expected under the farm law, that it would be a farmer fermenting his own product.
This is Dave Mullivick again. Follow-up question then. So why, I guess I just would ask him, why is the permit agritourism and not just operational?
I can answer that. That's the law that was adopted by the town board to encourage agricultural uses. So that's why it has that name. And it was one of the first laws in this area to do that. And the goal is just to strengthen farming. The town of Duanesburg has a right to farm law, and they're strongly in favor of farming. So just that's the background of it.
Okay. Yep, gotcha. Tourism is the part I don't like. Okay.
Okay, there's one other question that the board has, and Elizabeth can ask that, please.
Yeah, I understand from the last meeting you're still waiting on some state permit approvals, and I was just wondering if you've secured those or not.
We have our federal permits. The state permit you are unable to obtain without receiving all local approvals.
Okay.
So that's not something that we can get. We do have a pending application. Fingerprinting has been completed. We're waiting for what's called a deficiency letter, which doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong. It just says what additional items are requested prior to them issuing the letter. The only item that I'm expecting to show up, although you can never get into the mind of the state liquor authority, is proof that we do have our local approvals, which is why we're here tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Does anybody on the board have any questions, issues? What's the next one?
I will make a motion to approve the special use permit for the William Green Meadery at 10966 Greensburg Road. Understanding that should anything change from this application, they will come back to the planning board. So that it's a new application that will go through the entire approval process as it has done this evening. So I will, including a public hearing. So I will make that motion.
And can I suggest that you want to condition it on the approval obtaining all other local, federal, and state approvals that are required?
Certainly. I will make that motion to add a contingency that they secure all necessary local, state, and federal approvals to operate.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Green, you're good to go, and I want to thank you for preparing a great application that was comprehensive, detailed, and to the point, so that it allowed the board to, you know, easily understand what you're doing and not have to go through a lot of hoops to get you to where you want to be. So thank you very much for doing that, and you're good to go.
Yeah, can we pause a minute?
Yeah.
I want to see if we can get the speaker working. So
yeah.
We're having a tough time.
All right.
That's okay.
Thank you very much for the time that the board took to consider our application. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Be well, everybody.
To those in the audience, we're taking a slight pause because we're having a little bit of a delay.
I'll be here. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, is anyone in the audience?
Speaker on, the mic. Turn the volume on. We can't hear.
I understand. Why don't you turn yours off? Turn yours off. Okay, turn yours back on. Is the volume all the way up?
Or no?
It's at 100. Okay. Can the people in the audience hear us?
Hi, Blackstone. I can hear you now. The reverb disappeared.
Have you heard any of the introductory stuff?
Yeah, I heard everything up until you said we're having some audio problem.
I think we're affected
by technical expertise crew.
Okay. We'll redo this again. The next item on our public hearings is the public hearing for the Paul Giamatti subdivision. Seeks a three-lot major subdivision on 1756 McGuire School Road. And I make a motion to open that public hearing.
Second.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Mr. Giamatti's representative, can you please address the board?
Okay. Blackstone, I'm a representative, the applicant. We've had our Zoom interaction times with the map. Had any inquiry details to in previous meetings? I think we're pretty well situated to move for the public hearing.
Do we want to put the drawing
up? Drawing up, yeah. The drawing.
Okay. Did you just mute someone?
Did you get that or did it get muted?
It was not muted, but you were breaking out every other word.
Okay. Well, the subdivision's been revised from previous comments and questions and addressed all of them up to this point in time. So we believe we are at the public hearing, hopefully moving forward for final approval tonight on the three-lot subdivision for Mr. Giamatti.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to make a comment on this proposed subdivision? Hearing nothing to that effect, I will make a motion to close the public hearing for the Paul Giamatti three-lot major subdivision.
I'll second.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Okay. We have a secret statement to read since it's a major subdivision. So that will be included. I'm going to ask Elizabeth to read that for us into the record.
So I'll make a motion to reaffirm the secret negative declaration. This is a type one action. And the board made a preliminary determination at the last meeting, and I will reaffirm that now. The Town of Greenberg Planning Board has completed an environmental assessment of proposed major subdivision. The project's environmental impacts have been evaluated in accordance with the SEPA full environmental assessment form, part two, identification of potential project impacts. None of the potential project impacts have been identified as major, moderate to large. The proposed major subdivision consisting of three lots, lot one, which consists of 2.35 acres, lot two, which has an existing single-family dwelling and is approximately 2.54 acres, and lot 3 will consist of 7.71 acres. The proposal is consistent with the town comprehensive plan and compliant with the zoning ordinance for the R2 agricultural and residential zoning district. It is anticipated that single-family dwellings may be built in the future on lots 1 and 3 and will be consistent with the existing community character with no aesthetic impacts anticipated. The proposed action will not have an impact on the environmental characteristics that would cause the establishment of a critical environmental area. The proposed action will have no impact or any adverse change to existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walking. The proposed action will have little to no increase in energy usage. Any outdoor lighting is for residential purposes only. Any noise or odors associated with construction activities will be temporary. The proposed action will require the drilling of private wells and private septic systems, which will require approvals from the New York State Department of Health. It is anticipated minimal disturbance of soil for construction, that will require temporary soil erosion control measures to be installed and maintained during any future construction activities. Should there be any potential impacts to federal or state wetland resources, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers or the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation will be contacted to determine if any permits or approvals are required. Permits and/or approvals will be secured prior to any work occurring which could impact any potential wetland resources. The site has been identified as having northern long-eared bats. Therefore, all tree removal activities must occur between October 31st and March 31st. If these dates cannot be accommodated, an on-site assessment by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation staff may be required. The Howard Homestead is approximately 2,000 feet from the site. Because construction is anticipated, the State Historic Preservation Office may wish to evaluate for any possible direct or indirect impacts to the proposed subdivision is not an under-year floodplain or a remediation site. This action will not result in any impacts to agricultural resources, although the parcels are surrounded by Schenectady County agricultural districts and are subject to odors and noise associated with farming activities. Based on this information, the Planning Board has determined that the proposed major subdivision will not have any significant adverse impacts on the environment, and a negative declaration is made for purposes of Article 8 of the Environmental Conservation Law. So I will make that motion.
On that one question. And there it says the current residence is on lot 2. It's the map showing lot 1.
Can you print that?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's all.
Good catch. Did you get that, Melissa? I'll make a note on this copy. Thank you, Michael. So we need a second.
A second.
Yes.
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 Okay, so Paul and Mr. Blackstone, I think you should be good to go on this. Yeah, okay, we're going to make a motion to approve the Paul Giamatti major subdivision.
Did you just say preliminary and final? So he doesn't have to come back.
Preliminary and final. Subdivision. Okay.
I'll second.
Yes.
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 Josh.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Blackstone, I'll see you again someday.
Thank you very much for your review, and on behalf of Mr. Giamatti, I thank you also.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to old business. Okay. Uh, The first thing and the only thing on old business is the application from Spiro Kagas. Before we start the discussions of this, I wanted to ask our town attorney again to give us just another explanation of how residential structures in the C2 zones and C1 zones can be impacted by developments, and some of the cautions that you need to understand and the constraints that the board is under when we review applications that may affect residential properties that have been built in C1 zones. So Teresa, could you just we've gone over this before, but it's a very important issue that's coming up in the town a lot, because a lot of C1 properties is being developed residentially. And you have to understand when you do that, there are some sort of risks that you might not experience if you were in other zoned areas. So maybe, Teresa, if you could just give us a quick overview of that, just to help.
Sure. In the town of Duanesburg, there are two zones, C1 and C2, which allow for commercial operations. And they allow for many of these by special use permit, so that they have a lot of scrutiny from the town board. Some they allow by site plan approval. But the town planning board, in looking at these projects, is constrained by the zoning decision, which is made by the town board. The town board decides what are the appropriate uses in a particular location. And then the planning board's role is to review the standards for the particular permit that's been applied for to determine if the use meets those requirements. For residences that have been built or are being built in commercial zones, the town planning board always does a very good job of trying to explain to people that because you have a residence in a C1 or a C2 zone, it doesn't prevent your neighbors from using appropriately designed commercial facilities in those locations. And the town has always been willing to allow people to put houses in commercial zones, because we're out in the middle of nowhere, we have a lot of mixed uses already, it's very rural. So however, you find a lot of these businesses, like the car wash, along major state roads like New York State Route 20, and you know, they've been there a substantial period of time, I think since the 70s, if not before. And and so you can have conflicts arise. And one of the things that the town planning board can do is impose appropriate conditions on commercial uses so that they don't cause nuisances or difficulties for adjoining residential neighbors. And that is within your authority to do. And I think the history of review of this particular project is a history of listening to what the neighbors have to say, both on the same side of the road and across the street, and also a history of asking Mr. Kagas to make concessions about what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, in an effort, to the extent we can under the law, that the planning board can under the law, to limit the effects on the surrounding neighbors. So, if you just give me another second here, I think for this project, it's important to kind of go through what comprises the application, because we've had it in front of us since December of 2020. You had, in February, you determined that it was a type 2 action under SEAKER, and then we had, I believe, 3 nights of public hearing, March, April, and was it 3 or 2? At least, I think it was at least 3. And we had lots of comments from residents. all those comments are within your files, and we've thought through those comments the planning board has in order to make sure that we have put the appropriate conditions on the approval. The latest plan that you have in front of you is the June 1st plan, I believe, by the project engineer, Brett Seavers. So it's important that we note for the record what the last plan is, and also the last version of the stormwater report, which was also revised. And so that's where I would, you know, sort of start the discussion tonight. The other thing that we have is we have several letters from Mr. Pagas and also from his counsel. And in those letters, his counsel provides a representation of a gate that will be put up at the entrance to the overflow parking. And a sign that will be put up notifying people that they cannot use the Wishiwash for overnight parking and staying with their vehicle. So that's just some of the materials that you would have in front of you tonight, as well as the comments from the neighbors. So I mean, I think it's worthwhile going through some of that and seeing if the board is, you know, ready to make a decision tonight. You're only approving or disapproving site plan for an overflow parking. Because it's an existing facility, we've also asked the applicant to do some additional things related to his existing facility, which he has agreed to do, which we're going to impose in the form of conditions on the approval. So just to give you an example, the big concern was trucks being there overnight. Another big concern was stormwater runoff and runoff control, particularly stormwater running off the field and going directly down into the neighbor's property. They were concerned about the accuracy of the plans, if they reflected topography at pre-topography, post-topography, and the swales. And there were questions regarding whether the existing culverts of the property were adequate to convey the stormwater that would be created here as well. The other complaint that we heard from the neighbors was that there was music playing late into the night. So you'll see that there's a proposed condition relating to that. And the other thing that they had indicated was dust coming off the property as is worse, you know, it being irritating for sure, to have dust coming off the property and onto the adjoining property. And we've made a proposal with respect to that as well. And most importantly, the landscaping, which is on the project engineer's plans to show where the pine trees will be planted and that they'll be staggered and offset so that they can serve as a buffer to the residential property below. So, if there's, Dale, is there anything that we've missed there in terms of conditions? Okay. I mean, you know, if you guys want to take a few moments and look through the materials and look through the public comments, just to be sure we're not missing anything. And I believe one of the planning board members was also looking at the stormwater calculations.
That's correct. Yeah, I had a chance to review the stormwater calculations provided by Mr. Steinberg for the 110-100-year storms, as well as the pre and post analysis and the upstream analysis. I did use some USGS topographical information and maps because the applicant didn't really provide any grading in the northern portion, either the drainage area plan associated with the hydrocalcs or the plan dated June 2nd. However, I did feel that the area represented in the hydrocalc calculations is appropriate for the area that we're looking at.
Thank you very much for looking at that.
Teresa, should we read this resolution or?
I would definitely read it into the record, and but before you do that, I would just take a few minutes and look through the notes and make sure, as I said, that we're not missing any conditions or references to important documents.
Now, or do you want to give the board time to look through the documents, Teresa?
Well,
you,
up to you,
Jim.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, go right ahead, Brett.
Thank you. As you know, you commented on at the last board meeting, you had some requests for additional items on the plan, the gate, the sign, and the cross section of the proposed parking lot, which have all been added to the plan, which you have before you this evening. Additionally, we did review the stormwater management or the stormwater management plan a little bit further detail to include that uphill drainage. We did use the USGS topographic maps to determine that, and essentially, if you look at the drainage map, you kind of have a large triangle that goes up off the plan because the contours kind of wrap around, and a lot of the flow uphill from the site ends up going to the drainage channel, which is just to the east of the site, and then goes under Route 20. The site is actually located kind of at a high point where or actually just to the east of the site is a high point where the drainage goes, flows east. And in this particular case, in front of the proposed development, it flows west under the culverts, the existing culverts for the Wishiwash Car Wash and downstream. We have analyzed those culverts to take the 10-year flow based upon the runoff. We also did add the diversion swale around the parking lot so that we don't have flow from that uphill side coming onto the parking lot, flowing across the parking lot, and ultimately into that lower swale. Based on the design and what we're designing with the swales, we feel confident that actually we will improve the drainage situation in the neighboring residence rear yard, where right now all of the runoff from that hillside does eventually end up in their rear yard. There is no swale there, nor would there have ever been really a need for a swale unless the homeowner had constructed it when they built the house, because as was discussed, this is, you know, the older, fields and such. And, you know, you have the hillside coming down and ultimately into the ditch onto Route 20. But with our proposal, we are installing these swales around the parking lot and picking up any of the drainage coming off the parking lot. So we're eliminating all of that stormwater, which is going to that resident's rear yard right now, and diverting it out to the ditch on Route 20, which ultimately will improve the hydrologic condition in their rear yard, meaning that it'll just be less wet during the rainy season. And we did show the white pines in a staggered sawtooth pattern along the rear of the property on the developer's property. The white pines were fast growing. We showed them, you know, 4 foot tall, because we find that they tend to take hold quicker and better than getting the larger trees at the nursery, which have a tendency to die off because they're you know, the root ball's bigger and they require more hydrology to keep and maintain them. And the white pines, as you know, are very fast growing, so we anticipate that screen buffer to be created relatively quickly. And there was one last comment, and it's leaving me now that I wanted to state, but in a nutshell, basically, we hope we addressed your comments from the last meeting and hope we can move forward with the plan. Thank you.
Okay.
Board members have any comments on the resolution? Comment, there's a whereas clause, second page regarding seeker as an unlisted action. I don't think we need that since it's a type 2.
Yeah, they're, I think I fixed that. No, there we go. You are absolutely right, as you always are.
No.
So yeah, definitely.
Cross the whole paragraph out?
Cross that whole paragraph out, yeah.
There, insert one from the top.
Yes,
okay.
Good eyes. I wanted to just go over the list of comments from the neighbors again, just to be sure that we're addressing them. Environmental concerns from standing, parked vehicles, air pollution, noise pollution, water pollution, runoff from the car wash, abandoned vehicles, setback for adjoining properties, which of course this meets, or Dale would not have, you know, sent it our way. Overnight parking, who will enforce this? Hopefully with the gate, that'll be self-executing, and, you know, Dale and Dom can go out there and make sure periodically that, you know, people are not overnight parking. Right, Dale? The traffic concern, several people raised an issue regarding trucks pulling on and off there off of Route 20. The Route 20 is regulated by DOT, not by us. It's not that we don't care, but it's not something that we have jurisdiction over. We have jurisdiction over the interior of the site as it comes off of New York State Route 20, but that's been an existing condition at the Wishiwash as it's currently operating. So, you know, just query whether there's anything you want to ask Mr. Kaugas to do with respect to, you know, the movements of the trucks on site. I mean, there's an entrance in and there's an entrance out. You know, so it's not, so it's got a circulation pattern. Does anybody have any concern about that? The other thing in addition to the music was the lighting. So I think we could add along with the music, music and lighting. So the one condition says the existing car wash shall ensure that any music and lighting is turned off between the hours of 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. and that dust is controlled on the access road so the dust does not leave the property values of no one's neighboring properties.
I'm okay with the music, although it's a 24-hour operation. Maybe we need to review the lights as they're downturned instead of, I don't know what lights are the problem.
They're down. Is this no for lighting on the new lot, or are we trying to?
There is no lighting on the new lot.
Okay, so the lighting that's there is already existing.
It's already existing. Okay.
One thing, I don't necessarily know if it needs to be amended, but it's kind of a logistical thing. You know, a lot of times when you do screening for sites, you know, there's a warranty put on the landscaping.
Yes.
Especially for a site that might be restricted to clearing in the winter for bats, they're not going to necessarily put in, it's not optimal to put in, you know, any planting when the ground is frozen. So we're asking them to do that at the time of construction, which is not optimal potentially for the plantings, but then again, you might have a higher mortality rate if they meet what we're asking. So there should be maybe a warranty of a year so that if there is a significant mortality of any planting that is on them to fix it.
If we make the plantings as a condition of the approval for the plan, though, if those die, wouldn't they be, whether it's a year or 10 years from now, wouldn't they be required to put the planting back? No matter what, because that is a screening and it's a part of the approval.
Right. I think the suggestion you made about a warranty is really good. And it makes things easier because if things are going to die, they're more likely to die in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Let's ask the applicant, do you intend to get a warranty on the materials, the planting materials? Brett?
Sorry, I was muted there. Sparrow, I would defer to you on that. Do you intend on getting a warranty on the materials?
Yes, I do plan on doing a warranty on the materials.
And Spiro, you understand if it dies, you have to replace it, right?
Correct.
Okay. So we can add that in, and that way.
It's a component that should, you know, extend the life of the use of the lot.
Yeah.
No different than like the gate. It's worth it.
All right. So, do you want me to read this,
Jeff,
or do you want to read it?
Well, I think it's a long letter. I think maybe Mike would like to read the first part of it because he's such a good reader. Up to the whereas, Mike. Up to the whereas, and then once it's resolved, and then we'll have someone else read it. It's quite lengthy. We'd like to read this into the record so that everyone that's in the audience and is privy to the record knows how this board has taken into consideration exactly what our council has just discussed. So if Mike, you could please do that just up to the first part and we'll lay you off the hook here.
Thanks, Jeff. So this is the Todd Wainberg Planning Board Resolution, and then will be to be determined -2021. It's read during the June 17, 2021 planning board meeting. It's for the application of Spiros Kagas for the site plan approval for an overflow parking area for the existing car wash. Whereas Spiros Kagas has applied for site plan approval for the overflow parking area on SPL number 53.00-1-29.21, the property zone C-1 is located at 9938 Western Turnpike in the town of Waynesburg. He is applying for site plan approval pursuant to sections 5.2.2 and 14.6.1.1, etc. Okay. Of the Town of Duanesburg Zoning Ordinance. Whereas a site plan approval for the overflow parking area is as an accessory use to his existing car wash, also located at 9938 Western Turnpike. Whereas the application was submitted on December 7, 2020, and was supplemented and revised over the course of many months. Whereas the building inspector made a determination on 12-7-2020 that additional accessory parking was allowed within the C1 district for the existing car wash upon the issuance of the site plan approval by the town planning board. Whereas all application materials are on file with the town and are available for public review and comment. Whereas the planning board determined at its meeting on February 18, 2021, that the application is a type 2 action under the State Environmental Quality Review Act. Whereas during the planning board meetings of February 18, 2021, March 18, 2021, and April 15, 2021, a public hearing was held on the site plan application and members of the public were given the opportunity to share any concerns regarding the project. Whereas letters and oral comments were received expressing concerns, including the following. Complaints concerning the existing facility, including but not limited to noise, trucks entering and exiting the facility, trucks using the facility for overnight parking, stormwater and dust being conveyed onto neighboring properties, and questions and issues raised concerning the proposed accessory use, including but not limited to truck usage of the facility, trucks using the overflow parking for overnight parking, use of the overflow parking for long-term storage of vehicles, dust from the overflow parking, design of the parking, particularly with respect to the discharge of stormwater, the existing proposed conveyances of stormwater, and the aesthetic qualities of the overflow parking, particularly in relation to the residential uses that front along New York State Route 20 and behind which the overflow parking is located. Whereas the town planning board members considered each and every comment concerning complaint and evaluating whether the site plan for the proposed accessory use met the standard for such site plans articulated in the zoning code. Whereas the town planning board referred the application to Schenectady County Planning, and Schenectady County Planning responded with the following
recommendation. So we do need to put that record. And that.
It's in there.
Process. I do remember that.
Get the water
for it. It's a pause in the read. There you go.
One thing I found is DC.
Yeah,
I saw the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I found.
I don't know.
Let's see.
Thank you. So I'm just going to read that one section again. Whereas the Town Planning Board referred the application to Schenectady County Planning, Schenectady County Planning responded to the following recommendations: that they modify or conditionally approve it subject to the condition of a New York State Department of Environmental Conservation approval, species permit. I think that's all you need to, that's good enough to.
Yep, okay. It is.
Thank you. Whereas the Town Planning Board at its meeting on May 20th, 2021, and on June 17th, 2021, considered the additional materials submitted by the applicant to address the concerns set forth above, including letters from the Project Counsel Donald C. and the planning specifications prepared by the project engineer for the overflow parking, primarily related to stormwater and to visual screening. Whereas, in accordance with applicable site plan and general considerations, the Planning Board has considered the location, appearance, arrangement, size, design, and general site compatibility and sufficiency of the proposed overflow parking lot, the adequacy and arrangement of vehicular traffic access and circulation, the adequacy of stormwater and drainage facilities, and the adequacy type and arrangement of trees, shrubs, and other landscaping as set forth in section 14.6.1.5 of the Town Zoning Ordinance.
Okay, that's part one. Elizabeth will now read the conclusions.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town Planning Board confirms the action as a Type 2 action under SEAKER, and be it further resolved that the Town Planning Board hereby approves the site plan prepared by Brett L. Steinberg, P.E., PLLC, entitled Site Plan Ultimate Wishwash Car Truck, dated March 30th, 2021, last revised June 2nd, 2021, supported by the signed and sealed letter from Mr. Steinberg, dated June 1st, 2021, setting forth the stormwater drainage calculations and imposes the following conditions. Take a breath. Planting and screening shall be undertaken at the same time as the construction of the overflow parking. And I think we want to amend this to be warranted and will be maintained for the life of the project,
such that any dead or non-thriving trees shall be replaced.
Such that any dead or non-thriving trees shall be replaced. Thank you. The engineer shall submit a certification to the town that the overflow parking lot and the screening was constructed in accordance with the approved plans and that the stormwater drainage is functioning as designed. And let me read these numerically. Number three, those were the first two I just read. Number three, the existing car wash shall place a gate at the entrance to the overflow parking lot and ensure that trucks or other vehicles are not kept at the facility overnight, but only in conjunction with using the services of the car wash. Number four, the existing car wash shall place visible, long-lasting signs at the car wash and overflow parking lot per the design attached to Attorney Z's May 14th, 2021 letter indicating that trucks may not idle and that trucks may not park at the facility overnight. Number five, the existing car wash shall remain in compliance with all New York State Department of Environmental Conservation requirements with respect to stormwater and the treatment of the effluent from the car wash. Number six, the existing car wash shall ensure that any music is turned off between the hours of 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. and that dust is controlled on the access road so that dust does not leave the property boundaries and go onto neighboring properties.
I would just offer an additional seven, obtain all local, state, and federal permits for the project.
Number seven, the project will be required to obtain all local, state, and federal permits required for the project.
So I make the motion as previously read by Elizabeth.
Elizabeth makes the motion and you second.
That works too.
Okay.
I'll make the motion previously read by Michael Harris and myself.
And I'll second that.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Josh.
Yes.
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 Jeff.
Yes.
Okay.
Josh, did you say this? Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Spiro. It's been a long process. I hope not only Spiro, but I hope the neighbors are, you know, saw how the process worked, saw how we addressed their concerns to the extent that we can under the existing rules and regulations that we have. Hopefully everything will be successful with this, and you know, we're on to the next project. So thank you again, everyone.
Thank you very much, appreciate your time this evening.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Okay. The next item on the agenda would be new business. We have a application for a special use permit for a restaurant on Youngs Road and Highway 30. It's by Daryl Silverlee.
Eventually, it's going to need a subdivision also for this project.
Yeah, okay.
But he hasn't secured the land yet.
Yeah.
So Daryl, we'll
entertain this your presentation tonight, but there's some logistical things that have to be done for us to really move forward in any way. But if you could just present to the board your proposal. If you're there. Daryl, are you there?
Hi, good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing? Can you guys hear me?
Can you speak louder, sir?
Good afternoon, guys. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, if you could speak quite loud. We're having a little audio difficulty here.
Oh, okay, no problem. Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Daryl Silverlee. We're seeking a special use permit for a restaurant at a portion of 11165 Western Turnpike. We're going to name it Silver Creek. Our mission is to provide quality consumer goods, customer service, and a family-friendly atmosphere that everyone can enjoy. We plan to enhance the experiences to build customer loyalty and provide an organic, healthy side of menu to our consumers. We aim to give a consumer a friendly place to enjoy a meal, socialize and meet others, making sure that our customer has a welcoming experience. We want to be the go-to place for food and entertainment. We plan on hosting events, providing a number of services such as catering and special events to be coming forward. Our hours of operation will be 11 to 10 on Mondays through Thursday and Sundays, 11 to 2 Fridays and Saturdays, and hosting brunch from 11 to 1 on Sundays. Our target market is pretty much almost everyone in the area. We are trying to provide a very pleasant place that everyone can enjoy, from ages 4 to 74. Our potential clients on the geographic scope is 150,000. Hopefully more in the coming future. The company has gone through a thorough analysis of the competitors' pricing and has price matched to compare against all the businesses in the local area, such as Waynesburg Diner, Jonathan's, and the Carrot Barn. We plan on hosting a... Sorry, one second. We plan to advertise through direct mailings, word of mouth, and direct display with our use of signage. We are looking for a special use permit, and we also have to undergo a subdivision approval, which you guys were currently talking about. And yeah, that's pretty much our idea. We're trying to also have a parking lot on the vacant lot, but we need to get approval, obviously, before we can go through with everything else. And that is what we have for you guys.
Daryl, are you going to acquire the entire parcel on the north or the west east side of Route 30?
We are planning to. So the it's 30 splits. I believe it is the. Let me just look at my map really quick.
Side of 30.
I believe it is the east side. Yes.
And what is the acreage of that parcel that you're going
to? The acreage of the parcel is supposed to be 112. We have a survey lined up for to figure out the actual acreage, but we also have to figure out whether we can use the adjoining properties to survey our land and just subdivide it through 30. So that is what we are also trying to figure out currently. But it is estimated 112 acres.
Do they plan on going building on the west side of Route 30 by Young's Road?
By Young's Road, yes.
They've got the one site plan map has a north arrow on it, so yeah. It looks like it's the southern parcel looking at the map.
So if you're coming from Storts, it's the property on the left that we are trying to acquire, not the ones on the right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
In the business plan, it says that this is one of three restaurants. Are the other ones built, or where are those located? And is this a chain, or how does that work?
Oh, no, this is just a singular restaurant. We were just comparing it to, like, Dwaynesburg Diner and Jonathan's.
Okay, competition. Okay. Yeah, I read the first time.
So, Daryl, just logistically, do you have a contract to purchase this land from Florio, or?
Yes, we do have a contract. We are under contract, and we are actually currently working on getting extended through the subdivision approval process, just so we're able to stay under contract. But once we get the approval, we are going to go ahead and buy the land, and we are right now in the purchase agreement. We have to provide a perk test, which we are doing Tuesday, and a whole septic review as well to determine how much.
Are we on the property already or no well yet?
I'm sorry, what was that, ma'am?
Is there a potable water well on the property yet?
No, not yet. We would have to build a well and install a septic system as well.
Okay. Just to clarify, Teresa, I don't think the whole parcel goes to 20. I think, Thomas, is what you're getting at. Yeah, because if you look at the the county mapper, it appears that it goes to 20, but I don't think it does based on this aerial. Just to clarify for you.
Young's Road is the one down.
So that's northern bounded of Young's Road. Yeah.
I think it's the old, it's bounded by the old Route 20 would cross, you know, where it's the covered bridge. I don't know what the name of that little short cutoff road is.
And since they're not using that piece of the property, I just wanted to clarify that I stated before. It wasn't the road.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if it was.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the covered bridge used to go. You can still see the cut, and it went at a different angle.
So would the entrance be out the entrance road or out?
30.
30. Oh,
30. Yeah, 30. Oh, okay. 30.
Great. Good spot.
Okay.
How come you identified that you're going to be, you're going to build a wetland? Question 13. I wasn't sure about why that would be required.
On the EAF? Okay, 13. I was under the assumption that it was a wetland. I'm not entirely... Just from reading it,
so a structure is going to be built near a wetland, not a wetland is going to be built near the structure.
Oh, okay. No, no, then that's no. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
definitely need to see if that has a floodplain elevation.
No, I see not.
Yeah, he mentions that it's not in the 100-year floodplain, and, you know, I wouldn't anticipate, based on the map where he's showing it up by 30, he's probably correct, it's outside of it.
But yeah, like there's a runoff stream that comes down the Yonks that cuts through some of that.
And obviously we're going to want to look at that for setbacks from the septic. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a restaurant, so you're going to have a large enough septic to handle the effluent.
We plan to have it set back 300 feet from Route 30. That helps you guys determine.
He said they plan to set it back 300 feet from Route
30. Well, that actually is...
That is on the drawing, on the sketch. I wasn't sure if you guys saw that.
He's going to
need a
reach for 1,000 square.
Okay. A couple things, Daryl, on your EAF that you submitted, item 17 is not included as with a yes or no answer, so you'd have to address that. This is some things that we're looking at here.
Was 14 answered in yours?
No, 14 is not answered either.
Okay.
There's a couple little preliminary things that you could address up at this point.
I think we're going to have to do a coordinated review for Seeker because if there's an archaeological sensitive area, DC will probably have to take a look. So, a bit more of a set of sentence to submit. To
yeah.
Yeah.
I could
I'm assuming it's probably an unlisted action. I can't imagine that the square footage would.
Yeah, me neither.
No,
I'm sure it's not unlisted.
I mean, he did mention that there's going to be up to 1.5 acres of disturbance, so basically put it into a slip.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
The building is 50 by 50. Carefully, super I think in the EAF where you said that the building was building a wetland, it also
says.
No, I didn't look at that. What's the expected occupancy of the building?
The expected occupancy during the winter months is 65. It can hold 65 people. And then there's also outdoor seating, which can hold 66 individuals. So the total occupancy during the summer would be around 131 people.
Good size for that, so we get 45 fit total spaces. I don't think it's good size for that. Next slide.
Yeah. I would say when you produce your site plan, you know, show expansion areas or something like that. If you're going to phase the construction, you're going to have to do that for your septic design anyway. So kind of use that same model, I would say, for parking and outdoor seating areas or something like that, if that's your intent.
Okay. Daryl, have you retained an engineer for this to do your site plan work?
Yes, we do have an engineer. We are working with the septic. Well, we have a septic engineer right now who does, he works with the town and everyone or Schenectady County to draw up the plans. And then we're kind of waiting for the approval to get an actual architect engineer for the building.
Waiting on the approval for the septic?
No, we were just waiting on the town's approval, basically saying that you guys are okay. Like that we can get the okay to build the restaurant before we spend a bunch of money to get the engineers and everything put in.
Well, what we can tell you is it's allowed under the zoning, but we'll need engineered site plans and a subdivision plan in order to approve the project. Okay. So Dale's given you a determination that, and Dale, please correct me if I'm wrong, that it meets the zoning requirements. Okay, so you can have a restaurant here with a special use permit. So what you need to do is apply for the special use permit, but you need to meet all the requirements in the code in your application, including having engineered site plans. An architect is, you know, really, he's just going to give you a rendering for us. But the heavy lift is the civil engineer. And, you know, he should work hand in glove with your, the guy who's designing your septic so that everything works. And the site has some wetness to it. And the last thing you want to do is get in trouble with the federal government. So you really want to get an engineer who can have somebody make sure you're not proposing to put the septic or the parking or the driveway or the restaurant in any wet areas. It just protects you, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
When he does his SWIP too, if he's over an acre, there are setback requirements for your infiltration practices for your stormwater to your sanitary leach fields and things like that. So there are required setbacks that will have to be shown. So you're more than, I don't see how you wouldn't be required or need to show a wetland delineation for your project and your proposed alterations.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that your civil engineer will be able to do your SWIP too. He does that.
Okay, great.
Any other questions? Yeah. So Daryl, you've given us a lot of information that I guess we'd call it good information, but sketchy. So now we'll have to pin this down with some engineering plans and things. But I think the property acquisition is the first hurdle. because I don't think we can okay. give you a special use for permit if you don't own the property. So.
No. As long as you control the property and the property owner signs off on the application,
okay.
I personally work for the board, not for you, but be very careful about buying property until you have all the approvals to develop your property. Okay, that should be a
yes,
contingency
ma'am.
In your contract.
Okay. You're
staying
corrected.
That's
okay.
We should have a hand up in the audience. Is it not appropriate time for that? It's later on, public hearings. Someone attending.
Somebody attending?
Has your hand up.
It's up to the board if you'd like to hear what people have to say.
Other hands up. I don't know.
We don't even know if it's intentional. You want to click on it and see what they want.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
You'll have to talk much louder, sir.
Can you hear me?
Not if you don't talk louder. You have to talk louder.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
This is Dean Johnson. I live at 4274 State Highway 30, and I had a question for the gentleman. I understand, if I heard correctly, that the parcel you're looking to purchase is approximately 100 acres. And if that's correct, my question is, how much of that property would be developed for the building, the outside seating and the parking area?
Hello, sir. We have not currently entirely figured that out, but on our estimation, by a 50 by 50 building and a parking lot that we measured, it would be around 2.5 to 3 acres.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, so if you guys can come back with the complete application, then we can move you forward in the process.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
If you want to come to the next planning board meeting, which will be in July, the third Thursday in July, the 15th, then we need the materials by July 5th.
Are we open July 5th or are we closed?
July 6th. Did they get that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's nice you can see nodding your heads, right? Yeah.
I know you're smart.
Okay, Daryl. Well, thanks for the presentation. And you know, if you have any questions on that site, stay in contact with our code enforcement officer, and he can guide you through some of the process in the meantime between the meetings here. Let's say if you want the board to act, you'll have to have your paperwork to us by July 6th. You're welcome to come on as old business at the next meeting, but we really can't act on anything unless we have the paperwork in front. There's a process that you're going to have to go through, a process that we have to go through, notifying interested agencies and addressing items under SECR and things like that. So
yes, sir. Thank you all for your time.
Okay. That concludes the new business. Sketch plan review, we have nothing. We do have a letter from Paul Callahan. Can you have this, Tracy?
This is the gun shop.
The gun shop, yes.
Right, this is the gun shop. And apparently we approved the subdivision, which I don't understand why the proof. Like, he must have had it signed by the chair.
Yeah.
Right? So,
So we're just reapproving it, extending the timeline. That's it.
Well, no, we can't. Now it's void because it wasn't filed in time. Because you have to file it within 6 days.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll have to have a public hearing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. I don't want to do it either.
That's time to leave right now.
We had no comments on it last time. I don't anticipate any comments this time, but just procedurally,
just a process. You can't do
the that, and it's a state requirement.
So tonight, can we schedule a
public hearing? No, we have to go right ahead.
All right, okay.
The seeker is still good on it. You don't have to redo that or anything.
Make the motion. Okay, so I propose to schedule a public hearing for the Carly Coolidge subdivision at 5456 Western Turnpike on July 15th. Second. Yes.
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 Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Is anybody on from this?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was chiming in. This is Fred Metzger. And I was listening to all the other stuff, and I took a break real quick, and I didn't think I was that close, and I just caught Coolidge. I was like, oh, boy, that was me. So I was listening to some of the other stuff, and I was doing something. This is kind of like the great part with the Zoom meetings is, you know, prior to that, coming there, sitting there for 2 or 3 hours, you're kind of like, ooh. Whereas when you're home, you kind of, you know what happens. You get doing something else while you're listening, and then all of a sudden, like I said, I was just putting a bolt back together on a canopy here, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute, I just heard Coolidge. So my apologies, guys. I am here. It was for the subdivision, the two-lot subdivision that we did get approved. We went through the whole scenario there last year in like August, September, October, I think we got the approvals. Mr. O'Day was under the impression that with the sale of it, and again, with if it was an existing parcel, yes, you can pay the taxes at the closing with, you know, certified checks, so on and so forth. But with this particular scenario, in order for the lot to be created, you got to file it with the county first. But as a form of checks and balances, the county won't let you file until the taxes are paid in full. So he got kind of caught in that, you know, rock in a hard place there. But I think he set something up now so he could take care of that portion so we can actually come back. And obviously the time expired since our last approval. So now he's got everything up to date so we can get this part done. I can file it and then he can have his closing.
So what you missed is us scheduling a public hearing for next month.
Okay.
And we expect, absent something astonishing, that, you know, that we'll be able to approve it then. So why don't you come with the Mylar in July?
Okay.
And then it can be signed and you can be on your way.
Awesome. I thought I dropped them off already, but maybe not. Actually, I had my parents live up the road, so I asked them to drop them off, but maybe they forgot. I'll double check.
Okay.
All thank right. you.
All right, see you in July.
You got it, take care. Bye-bye.
Did you guys vote on public hearing? Is that the public hearing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Do
it yet.
No need to do it
okay. Yet. Okay, next item would be minutes approval from the May 20th meeting. Any changes, additions, deletions?
I had one thing on the second page, second line, it says telegraphic. It should be telegraphic.
Let's tell that. Anybody else have any comments? Hearing nothing to the effect, I'll make the motion to approve the minutes in the May 20th, 2021 Planning Board meeting.
Second.
Yes.
Sarah? Yes.
Yes. Oh, no, I abstain.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Okay.
I make a motion for adjournment.
Yes.
So we went to Santorini Harris. That was at the last meeting.
Well, we last time there was mics. Three mics.
Too many mics.
Yeah,
I was trying to do good and the ugly, but they wouldn't go.